Our lesson this morning is taken from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, where James says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." Over the last 2 weeks, we've looked at the first two parts of this, quick to listen and slow to speak. Today we want to look at the final part, slow to become angry. And that phrase, slow to become angry, is referring to emotional, violent, uncontrolled anger. The kind of anger that someone just blows up with. The kind of anger that we see around us happening in our world. God's word is always up to date and practical. A person who is quick to become angry often says and does things without thinking of the consequences, often destroying their very own neighborhoods. Many people lose any sense of right and wrong and end up destroying, burning, looting things in an emotional rage. Potiphar lost his best servant he ever had, because he became angry over his wife's lies about Joseph. Naaman almost lost a chance to be cured of leprosy because he got angry over Elisha's simple instructions to go dip in the Jordan. Nebuchadnezzar's anger caused him to lose his best soldiers. He had his strongest soldiers tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, take them up and throw them in the fire. The fire was so hot that it burnt up his soldiers. And later on, Nebuchadnezzar had to repent when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego then walked out of that furnace unharmed. Solomon said in Proverbs 25, verse 28, "Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control." You see, someone who can't control their anger is defenseless, robbed of their power, and bound to their passion. There was a study done at Duke University, where they found that a person is 50% more likely to have a heart attack and need surgery if they're full of hostility. And that resentment seems to be a major factor in certain types of cancer development. God said through Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" You see, if we're going to take care of our body, we have to get rid of those things that would destroy the body, the frequent, prolonged anger. Someone has said, "When you give someone a piece of your mind, you lose your peace of mind." I also thought the other saying there was appropriate: before giving anyone a piece of your mind, make sure you have enough to spare. Rage always poisons the atmosphere. It poisons the one who expresses it. Proverbs 5, verses 17 and 18, or Proverbs 15, rather. "Better a meal of vegetables where there is love than a fatted calf with hatred. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel." You see, God wants us to have the kind of personality to where we can handle things that happen and not blow up, not get so angry that we can't control ourselves. In our text for today, James says that we are to be slow to become angry because man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God is desiring for us. You see, righteousness is simply that, doing right, traveling the straight and narrow way of Christ. But if we speak out in a degrading fashion, if we get angry with other people, if we get argumentative, if we have an abusive spirit, that doesn't promote God. It doesn't help others to become like Him. Matthew says about Jesus Himself in His prophecy, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. "Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love and whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the street." You see, it was prophesied about Jesus that he wasn't going to be the kind of person who would get angry and upset and blow up at everything that happened. We're also told in 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25, the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. You see, God wants everyone to know the truth. And getting angry, getting upset, saying things that we later regret sure doesn't help that. Anger leads us away from God and separates us from the life he wants us to have. You see, when someone gets so mad that they can't see straight, they literally can't see straight. And they don't think straight either. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 9, do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Balaam let his anger get to him and ended up looking more foolish than his donkey. Jonah got angry about his shade vine dying, and he sat pouting like a child outside the city of Nineveh. Moses, in a fit of anger, broke the stone tablets with the Ten Commandments on them. Anger makes us act in ways that we wouldn't otherwise act. God wants peacemakers, not troublemakers. Matthew 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus said, for they will be called sons of God. Saul got angry and threw a spear at his son Jonathan. King Asa put Hanani the prophet in prison because he didn't like the message that Hanani brought from God. The Jews once became so angry with Jesus that they tried to throw him off a cliff near his hometown. Anger makes people do all kinds of crazy things. One who is quick to anger often starts into motion things that they can't stop. A boy once asked his father how wars start. The father said, well, suppose America quarreled with England. The mother broke in. But America doesn't quarrel with England. I know, said the father, sort of irritated. I was only using a hypothetical case. Well, you're misleading our son, she said. I am not, he growled. The boy said, never mind, I know how wars start. And Proverbs 17, verse 14 tells us, starting a quarrel was like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. It was anger that caused Cain to kill Abel. And it resulted in his exile to the land of Nod. Moses must have regretted striking that rock in anger instead of speaking to it. It kept him out of the promised land. And Herod got angry when the wise men didn't return and tell him where to find the newborn king of the Jews. And he became a baby killer. How many lives are changed because somebody got angry? Have you ever heard of the Hatfields and the McCoys? That's down in Pikeville, Kentucky. And it's a real thing. Famous feud started. It began in Civil War days when a Hatfield who was fighting for the South killed a McCoy who was fighting for the North. And for over 30 years, that feud continues back and forth. And they ended up killing over 100 people in those families. Hatred still leads to murder. 1 John 3:15, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Now, some people think of, well, anger is just a natural thing. It's harmless. It's a respectable sin. But listen to what the scripture tells us in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Notice hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, dissensions, factions. All of those are things having to do with anger. So what are we to do with anger in our daily lives? Well, the first thing we have to do is be mature enough to let it go. Refuse the temptation to get even or to have the last word. Proverbs 19:11, a man's wisdom gives him patience, is to his glory to overlook an offense. Aesop once told a fable about two mountain goats that met on a narrow ledge on a mountain pass. They couldn't get past one another. If they butted heads, they'd knock each other off. So what could they do? Finally, one lay down and let the other walk over him, and both went on their way safely. The moral of his tale, you may have to let someone walk over you to get where you want to go. Getting angry doesn't work. Paul told the Corinthians, who insisted on their rights in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 7, the very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you've been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not be cheated? You see, here were people who claimed to be Christians, and yet they were taking each other to court. Paul said that shows that you've lost it. And Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4, verses 14 and 16, if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. You see, we have to watch how we act and how other people interpret that. So let go of wrongs. The Lord has promised to bring good out of even what was meant for evil. What we have to do is put it in his hands. Second thing we can do is say something unexpected. Do something unexpected. Do the opposite of what's expected. Now that's hard. But we're told in Romans 12:19, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Third fact, if you're too emotional to say something, don't say anything. Proverbs 29, verse 11 tells us, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. One angry outburst can undo a year of doing good, setting a good example. Jesus said in Matthew 10:16, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he said, you're going to face all kinds of people who are going to try to persecute you and cause problems for you. Watch how you react. Don't get angry. We need to fill our mind with good things. Now, that's hard. When we turn on the radio or the TV, we see a lot of things that are not good. And that tends to get into our head. Maybe we need to just turn those things off. There's so much negative stuff going on out there. We need to fill our minds with good things so that there's no time or place for things that are not good. We're told in Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Just a few final thoughts here. In any relationship, there's going to be conflicts. Conflicts are inevitable. If they're not resolved, the relationship can be in danger. So if you find yourself getting angry, dealing with anger issues, consider these points. First of all, define the issue. What exactly is making you angry? Are you frustrated, hurt, annoyed, disappointed? Was it a threat? What was it that made you angry in the first place? Some people just get angry and they forgot what made them angry. They just hold on to it and if you ask them later, well, what made you, I don't remember. Something just made me upset, and I'm still mad. Second thing, deal with that issue, not the person. Putting the other person down doesn't solve the problem. State and deal with what the specific issue is. What is the thing that's causing problems? Third, deal with one thing at a time. Don't bring up the past, especially if it was something that was already taken care of. Let it go. Press on, as we're told in Philippians 3, verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You see, going back and rehashing old things doesn't help us get to heaven. It just throws roadblocks in the way. And what else? Well, we can use soft answers. You see, a soft answer will turn away wrath, but harsh words stirs up anger, Proverbs 15:1. We need to control our voice, control our speech level. And five, admit it when we're wrong. Boy, is that hard. Too many people can't admit mistakes. Oh, they make them. And when it's pointed out, even when it's clear it's pointed out to them, you know, they won't admit it. Boy, our professional politicians are like that. They make all kinds of mistakes, but try to get them to admit that there's something wrong. No, they'll backtrack. They'll do everything else. Those in power have that problem. For many people, anger gets them into a mess and pride keeps them there. 1 Peter 5:5, all of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. You see, when we do make a mistake, be big enough to admit it. And six, we need to avoid silly mistakes. How many times do people get in an argument over silly stuff? When I was thinking about that, it sort of reminded me of this story that I heard. Two men were sitting by a roadside when a meat truck went by and a big chunk of bologna fell out. There were three crows sitting there, and they saw the meat fall on the road, and they descended on it and enjoyed a long, leisurely feast. Then the crows decided, we've had enough, it's time to leave. And so they tried to take off, but they couldn't get off the ground. They'd eaten too much. And so one of them saw a hoe leaning up against the fence there. And so they thought, well, if I get a little altitude, I'll be able to fly off. So they climbed up the hoe, got on the end, and started to fly off, and a couple flaps and they exploded. Well, the second crow climbed up the hoe, a couple flaps, boom, they exploded. Third crow did the same thing. Meanwhile, the guys were sitting there watching this. And one shook his head and said, you know, that reminds me of a good moral. And the other one said, well, what's that? He said, the moral is don't fly off the handle when you're full of baloney. Now, a lot of people do that. Number seven, don't hold a grudge. Let anger pass quickly. We're told in Ephesians 4, verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. There are going to be things that irritate us. But don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't give the devil a foothold. You see, if we as Christians are going to guard our minds against the attacks of the devil, we have to be careful not to give him any foothold in our life. We don't have to give ourselves completely over to Satan. All we have to do is give him a chance to get in. Just stick his foot in the door. And being angry often causes that. You see, if you've not obeyed the Lord's commands and had your sins washed away in baptism, as Acts 22:16 tells us, get up, be baptized, wash your sins away, calling on his name. If you haven't done that, then the devil has more than just a foothold in your life. He owns you. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus died on the cross to buy us back from Satan, to pay the sin price, to set us free so that we can serve God. 1 Peter 1, verse 18, for you know it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And 1 Corinthians 6:20, you were bought at a price. The price of the blood of Christ. So this morning the question is, will you obey the words of Christ? Jesus told his disciples, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Do you believe what Jesus said? Do you believe what the Scriptures say? Have you been baptized to have your sins washed away? Are there things in your life that have caused you to get angry and given the devil a foothold in your life so that things just aren't going the way they should go because he's sort of trying to control things? You see, God is the one who needs to control our lives. We need to give ourselves to him. At this time, we offer the invitation. We invite you to come to Christ today and gain that hope of spending eternity with him in heaven as we stand together and sing.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but lost? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Watching the crimson flood, blessed made holy, humble and lowly, bright in the sight of God. As thou dominion o'er self and o'er sin, is thy heart
each moment abide in thy soul.